bring Ebenezer family and friends. It's just so good to just be back with you on this virtual platform. I'm telling you, just a closer walk with thee. I know where we're going today, and you're going to be blessed as we get into the scriptures, just thinking about that God allows us to be in his presence. I want to thank you so much for all your prayers for our services, Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, for our in-person services, 8:45 and our 10:45, and of course our 10 o'clock online. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for your giving, whether it's in a monetary form or you're reaching out to people, texting them, praying for those. We have a lot of members that have been in and out of the hospitals recovering, but the Lord is so faithful. Well, as we get into the service and get into the scriptures today, I just want you to be prepared. I want you to think about today that God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross of Calvary. But he was resurrected on that third day with all power. And now he's seated on the right hand of God, the Father, and he's interceding. He's praying for us. Let's prepare our hearts. See you soon.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. This morning I'm reading from Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let the gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it in practice, and God of peace will be with you. Thank you.
Praise God. Praise his name. One glorious day, Jesus came and made me whole. He so completely then satisfies my soul. Now as I face life's dark, troubled, stormy sea, I wonder if he's satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say, I am satisfied with thee. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he's satisfied with me. Lord, give me strength, give me courage, make me bold, that I might lead some lost sheep into thy fold, that I might stand unafraid, unmoved for thee, that you might be fully satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he's satisfied with me. I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan. I'm satisfied, it's sufficient for all man. I'm satisfied with his work on Calvary. But is my Lord truly satisfied with me? I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he's satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. Then when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he's satisfied with me.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden share? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. When my feeble life is over, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely over to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee, granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for just allowing us to be in this portion of scripture today, Lord, as we are dealing with the series, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Father, so much is going on in this world and so many stresses and so many distractions and fears. But Lord, we thank you that your grace is so, so sufficient. Now, Lord, I pray for all that are listening and viewing in, that they be encouraged, edified, that we be led more and more to be like you. Lord, I pray for those who are listening and viewing that may not be saved. I pray that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Teach us, please, and guide us and lead us into all truth. Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, as we get into another scripture from last Sunday, dealing with Hezekiah, also going back and dealing with Abraham and his calling, we're going to kind of go back in time from last Sunday, and we're going to go to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus, chapter 33, and I want you to look at that 18th verse. This is an amazing portion of scriptures, and as I've been going through it and just studying it, just blesses me to think about this process, and I believe that it'll bless you also. It reads, Exodus 33:18, "And Moses said, please show me your glory." Listen to that again, Exodus 33:18, "And he said, please show me your glory." I want to speak from a title today, More of You. More of You. Would you just repeat with me? Because I want it to be a personal connection with you and God. And so if you could say, Lord, please give me more of you. Lord, please give me more of you. I'm telling you, be careful, because when you ask that, there is a drawing. There is something that begins to occur on the inside of you. And today we're going to see why Moses asked for that, and also what's going to happen in his walk with the Lord. Time frame is about 1440 BC. And I just want to give you a little background to get us to where we are today. So much has happened. God has called Moses, and we realize Moses has had issues. He was actually a murderer. He murdered a man. God allowed him to have 40 years out in the wilderness, and there he is blessed to have an encounter with God. God gives him a stick and sends him back to Egypt, that place where he was raised up, to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. God does all kinds of signs and wonders via Moses and his brother Aaron. And God allows them to come out of Egypt, and they go across the Red Sea on dry land and go into the wilderness experience. And there, God is leading them a fire by night and a cloud by day. It is magnificent. God is actually giving them water out of rocks, and he's feeding them manna from heaven. But the children of Israel are still not satisfied. So much so, God is setting forth the laws, the commandments, and Moses is called up to the top of the mountain, and there He actually witnesses the presence of God and those commandments written by the hand of God. And Moses is coming back down the mountain because God says, you need to get back down there because the people, your people, are doing sinful things. Literally, they had started worshiping another god. And Aaron had built them this golden calf. And it's crazy. It's a party that's going down. Moses comes down. Moses is upset. He drops, throws down the commandments. He disciplines the people. At this point, God pulls back and God is saying, I want to just destroy everybody. But Moses actually intercedes for these people. And he says, what would Egypt say and the other people say? And so God, in his anger, he pulls back that anger and his grace comes forth. And so this is the setting of this interaction of Moses after this egregious sin that's happened with the children of Israel. God is deciding, in a sense, as he's connecting with Moses, which way are the children of Israel going to go? And Moses has to have assurance of God's presence. Exodus 33:11 really helps us to transition into this text today, more of you. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he will return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Here's the first point, face to face. Face to face. Because of the sin, actually, Moses, he moves his tent. The tabernacle, that presence, the tabernacle would be the presence of God coming, and Moses is the connecting point with God. And so he moves it out of the camp just because the people had turned away from God. And now there's a mourning time that's going on. The people are sad because they realize they've been reprimanded by Moses and God. Judgment has come upon them, and they're just trying to figure out where do we go now? Which way do we go? The meaning in this particular scripture when it says face to face is not that Moses actually saw God. We're going to deal with that as a man would look at another man or a woman would look at another woman. But it actually means here unhindered communion with God. So face to face, it means there's a connection. Moses is in the presence of God, and God is there and Moses is there, and communion is taking place. Moses, in essence, had sweet, sweet fellowship with the Lord. More of you. See Austin Miles in 1913. He actually captures what's going on in this scripture. He says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. I love this part. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's that face to face as Moses is connecting with God and God connecting with Moses. There's a part of this particular scripture I don't want you to miss in Exodus 33:11. That second part, it said, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. I just want to bring this out as we're talking about more of you and being in communion with God. Who is watching you? Yes, Joshua is actually right there in the midst and looking in and taking in this sweet communion with the Lord. Who's listening to you as you're praying to God, as you're seeking his face? It's always been my desire as I am striving to get closer to the Lord, that people can have an example, that they can see God in me. And please understand, if you have children and if you are married or you are single, there are examples that are coming out of your life that someone is seeing how you commune with the Lord, how you're walking with the Lord. And we need to desire as Christians more of a fellowship with God. I never in my life, and I know you never want to be a stumbling block to anybody. And so in this process, Joshua is actually, he's going to be the man to be able to step up after Moses. Joshua is the one that's looking in and seeing what the presence of God looks like in a person that's sold out to God. I'm telling you, look at Exodus 33:12, more of you. It says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight.'" Exodus 33:13. "Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." Here's a big point. Show me your way. Yes, show me your way. The tension within the text here is that God really, he wanted to wipe out Israel. He said, "Moses, I will raise up a nation out of your loins. I'll just use you. I'll just get rid of everybody." And Moses is interceding and he's saying, "God, I please don't leave us. We need you to show us the way. We can't go on this journey by ourselves. You brought us out of Egypt. You've taken us across the Red Sea. We're in this wilderness experience. You're feeding us. You're giving us drink. Lord, if you don't go before us, we're not going to be able to make it." And there ought to be some witnesses that are out there that are listening and connecting today that you say, "Lord, lead me, lead me." You can put it in the chat, "Lead me." Because if God doesn't lead us, we don't know where we're going to go. We'll always end up in a ditch. Moses desires God to order his steps. Any amens out there? He wants God to order his steps. David said it like this in Psalms 37:23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." I'm telling you, it's good to know that as we are getting closer to the Lord, as we're striving to seek his face more and more, wanting more of him, that literally he is upholding us. He's ordering our steps. He's keeping us. He goes on to acknowledge, David says in Psalms 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." As we get closer to the Lord, we realize his word undergirds us and the Holy Spirit speaks to us and he guides us day in and day out. But notice there's some things that Moses is focusing on as he brings to God in Exodus 33:13, about midway. It says, "Show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight." I want to read that section again to you. He says, "Show me now your way." He doesn't say, "Show me, you know, Moses' way or the children of Israel." He says, "God, we need to know your way that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight." Somebody just type grace. I'm telling you, grace. This is so important that in our lives, we have to come to the point of asking God that we really want to know the Lord's way. We really want his grace to be manifested in our lives. But I'm telling you, when you pray these things and you ask these things, watch out, because God has something wonderful for you. God desires our closeness with him. He desires us to be on the mission field to carry forth his word to other people. Grace here actually empowers us to be more like God. It empowers us to get into the word. It empowers us to pray. It empowers us to get into the presence of God. We quote this scripture often that really shows the privilege of the believers in Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Anybody need that grace of God? His mercies in our life. More of you. Look at Exodus 33:14. And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Exodus 33:15-16. Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For now then it will be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us. So we shall be separate, and your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Here's another point. In his presence. In his presence. Now you can sense the yearning of Moses here. He's like, God, we got to have you. And God says, I'm going to go with you. And Moses wants assurance that his presence is going to be there. There's a song that sometimes I sing, and it's been sung throughout a great portion of history. It's just a few verses. It says, in your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger. I will stay in your presence all the day until your likeness is seen in me. Yes, so many have sung that, just that little hymnic lines to say, God, I want your presence in my life. I want to be able to worship you. I want to seek you. I want you to change me from the inside out. We must desire God's presence. That is what God is doing in this season. He wants us as Christians and saints to want more of him, to spend more time with him, to hear his voice. Remember from in the garden that Miles wrote again, that end part. He says, he walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Where are you in your walk and your desire for God? Where are you in your communion with the Lord? Where are you in your connection, your prayer time, your scripture reading? Where are you walking with God? I'm telling you, when you think about all the wonderful things that he's already done in our lives, all the miracles that he's wrought, that he woke us up this morning and he started us on the way, there ought to be some shouts of praise saying, God, I want more of you. Please don't miss this. Exodus 33:14, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. This is a challenge. I believe so many people are struggling with a lack of rest. Yes, a rest. I'm not just talking about whether you get 5 hours of sleep or 6 hours of sleep. I'm talking about that deep-rooted rest that you know that everything's going to be all right, that you know that the peace of God surpasses all understanding within you. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 11:28. He says, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you could just use the chat and just say rest, rest, rest. If you're sitting in your living room, just say rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. There it is again, rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. More of you. Moses realized, man, if I can get into God's presence and stay in God's presence, God is saying, if I'm with you, you're going to have rest. I know there's been stressful times, Moses. I know these people that I've asked you to lead, they've gone astray and they've actually turned against me. I realize that, but if you just stay with me, you're going to have some rest. I believe I'm speaking to somebody right now that you're going through some situations, some struggles, but I want you to know, just stay with the Lord, seek his face, ask him more of him. I'm telling you, rest will be there. Look at Exodus 33:17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. I want to read that again to you. Please get these lines in your heart. It says, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace. You can type grace again, in my sight, and I know you by name. Here's another point. He knows my name. Yes, yes. He knows my name. Now this is important, because when you think about this, God is saying, you know what? I am the God of universe. I've created all things. I know the animals down to the ants and the lions and the deer. I know all of them. I know I've created them, but I know you, and I know you by name. Now that is wonderful to think that the God of universe that controls everything can come down in essence and connect with mankind. There ought to be some and praise, thanking God that he knows us by name. Isaiah 43:1 brings us out. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. Just type name, name, name. You are mine. I want to say that again and read it again. It says, fear not, for I am redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. God told Jeremiah this in Jeremiah 1:5. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Isn't that good news? Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I'm telling you, God knew Moses. His name. God knows our name, and that is good news. Jesus said it like this in John 10:14. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm telling you, that's good news. But please, it doesn't stop there when it talks about name. I've told this story before, but if you know me, I am actually a junior. That means that I got my dad's name. I'm Howard Lee Woods Jr. And I'm appreciative to my parents. Thank God for giving me a name. Thank God for a namesake. That's what my dad calls me. But I've often thought, what would it be like to just have my own name? You know, my own specific name for me. And you have a name, and oftentimes the name that we're given, somebody else has that same first name or middle name, that whole process. But God says something in Revelation 2:17 that's magnanimous. It says, he who has an ear to let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name. Somebody say new name, written which no one knows except him who receives it. Man, I got excited when I read Revelations and I saw that we're all going to get a new name, a special name that God has had for us for the foundations of the earth. The Lord then tells us his future glory on us. Notice this in Revelations 3:12, and he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Isn't that good news to know there's a God that wants sweet communion with us so much that he's going to give us a new name, and we're connected with him. We are his children. There ought to be some praises, some hallelujahs to know that God loves us so much more of you. Look at this, Exodus 33:18. And he said, please show me your glory. Man, how can you not be excited about this? How can you not be blessed about this communion, this that Moses is having with God? God is talking to him, and Moses is talking to God. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of comes out. He says, just please, 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 God, show me your glory. That's the point. Show me your glory. What a bold request. What a bold request, especially after God has found him at that burning bush. What a bold request, especially after God gave him that miracle rod that could turn into a snake, and he could point it to the sky, and all of a sudden waters. What a bold request from the signs and wonders that God showed in Egypt. What a bold express from the Red Sea experience, the manna from heaven, the water from the rock. And Moses has the audacity to say, God, show me your glory. I want more of you. I want more of your presence. And so many times in our lives, we have set a limit within our lives how close we want to get to God. But I dare you today to say, Lord, show me your glory. Show me more of you. Tasha Cobb saying it like this. Lord, if I find favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart's cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are. I'll cross the hottest desert. I'll travel near or far for your glory. I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my king. I want to be where you are. Peace is where you are. Joy is where you are. And love is where you are. More of you. That should be our desire today. Look at Exodus 33:19. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Wow, more of you. Here's a point. All of his goodness. Yes, yes. All of his goodness. I want you to get this scripture. I pray that you can just come with me and get the picture of what's happening, this communion of Moses and God, and how God is being so gracious and so kind to even allow Moses to talk to him like this. And Moses saying, I want to see your glory. I want more of you. Please look at this, Exodus 33:19. Then he said, I will make all my goodness. God said, I'm going to make all my goodness just pass before you. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. God says, I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you more. I'm going to show you just a bit, just a piece of my glory. I'm just going to walk in front of you. I'm going to walk in front of you. And when I walk in front of you, you're going to see my goodness. You're going to see my grace. You're going to see my mercy. And there ought to be some shouts of praise. We've been saying that a lot because God has been so good. How many times has God's presence just pushed us over, man? Just gave us some excitement. Jeremiah said, it's like fire all shut up in our bones just for God just to pass by and to know that we have his presence living on the inside. I'm talking to the believers out there. There should be more of God in us and exemplified in our lives. We should desire to see his glory. Moses could not see God's total essence and live. Psalms 5:4-5 says, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. We know in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I thank God for his mercies and his kindness for allowing us to even be in his presence. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, who alone has immortality and dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. But aren't you glad for God's grace? Aren't you glad for God's mercy that even when we desire to see more of him, God says, I'm going to show you more of my goodness. I'm going to show you more of my kindness, simply because I had a plan and I have a plan and I'm doing some things in your lives that you don't even understand. He wants us to say more of you, God, more of you. Look at this final section as we pull it together. Exodus 33:21. And the Lord said, here is a place by me and you shall stand on the rock. Would you just type rock? That's going to be important. It says, so it shall be while my glory pass by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. Can you say rock again? And will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Yeah, you probably already know the point from here. The rock. Yes, the rock, the rock. Now, let's look closely at the scripture again. And the Lord said this. This is so important. Here is a place by me. I need you to do something. I want you to stand in the rock. Because when I pass by, my glory is so powerful. The anointing is so powerful. You're going to need some protection. And so that rock is going to help to protect you. So it shall be while my glory passes by. Can somebody just say glory? You can type it in the chat. Glory passes by. Then I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. There it is again, rock. And will cover you with my hand while I pass by. So when I come through, just so you don't die and you don't see my total essence, I'm just going to allow my presence to be there and I'm going to cover you up to protect you in the rock. I'm telling you, more of you. Well, as we finish for today, I don't want you to leave just with Moses. Thank God for Moses, a great man to commune with God and ask God to see his glory, to see more of him, more of his goodness. But I'm telling you that it's bigger than Moses. It's bigger because that rock is bigger than we can imagine. As we look at the scriptures in 1776, Augustine Toplady, he wrote this. He said, rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not of labors by my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin not atone. Thou must save and thou thou alone, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look for thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Yes, Jesus is that rock. He's the one that came from heaven to earth to walk among men. He speaks of this in Matthew 21:42. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. I'm so glad for that Jesus that walked among men. He healed the sick and raised the dead, but I'm glad that he didn't stop right there. I'm glad he goes through the Garden of Gethsemane and says, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. I'm talking about more of you. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He's beaten all night long, but he goes up to the place called Calvary, takes nails in his hands and nails in his feet. I'm talking about more of you. I'm so glad that he carried our griefs and bore our pains on that cross of Calvary. He died for us. They put him in a cold grave, but I'm so glad to let you know that he got up on the third day with all power and all glory, so that we who are saved and delivered, who have called on the name of the Lord, can ask God to show me your glory, can ask God for more of his presence, can ask God to see his goodness. I'm telling you, I dare you to think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you. I'm telling you, your soul should be coming to the point of shouting out hallelujah and saying, God, I want more of you. Just to have his presence. Saints, we've often taken for granted the wonders that God has done. I'm telling you, thank God for Moses. Thank God for that encounter within scriptures. But you know what? We can have that same or even better encounter within our lives now. We have God's Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. And God is saying, come, let's commune together. Come, let's take time together. Get in my word, and I'm going to be there. Lift up your hands to me in your private times and pray and worship to me and sing songs to me. I'll come closer to you. I'll show you my goodness. Till that one day when he calls us home and we can throw away these dilapidated bodies, these broken bodies. And he said, I'm going to give you a glorified body. And then at that time, we'll be able to see him as he is. We'll be able to see him in his total glory and live with him for everlasting to everlasting to everlasting. What a mighty God we serve. More of you. Saints, I want to encourage you. It's strong in my heart. God is saying, get closer, get closer. He wants you to hear his voice. Get in his word. Pray. Worship him. Seek him more and more. Oh, there is so much more in his presence. In his presence, that's where our rest is. That's where our peace is. That's where our healing is. That's where our everything. In the presence of the Lord. More of you. If you don't know Christ today, wait, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and said, you will be saved. Accept that grace by faith, not of yourself. It is a gift. Take it today. Grab it. Oh, God is able to save to the uttermost, to deliver and set free. Say, Pastor, how do you know? I know because he's doing it in my life. I'm able to, as the scriptures say, work out my salvation on a daily basis with fear and trembling. And the saints all to witness, we're working it out in fear and trembling, and we're thanking God that just a closer walk with the Lord. Oh, he has us. He's keeping us. He's allowed us to be here for such a time as this. More of you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the encouragement, God, that you want us in your presence. Lord, we ask you for forgiveness for the times that we failed you, for the times, Lord, that we haven't chosen to get in your presence, to read your word, to pray more, to worship you, to praise you. We've chosen temporary things of this world that can never satisfy. But Lord, we thank you for the day, God, even as Moses cried out, show me your glory. Oh, we cry out in our lives, more of you, show us your glory. Lord, thank you for allowing your goodness Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being our everything. We just give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you ask him to loan you a helping, sometimes we just don't need music. I know he bring peace, yes he will, all over there, yes he will. Whensoever, ever, y'all let the Lord help, 'cause I know, yes he will fix it for you, he will fix it for you, dum, dum, dum. If you ask him just to loan you a helping, won't he do it? I know he'll bring peace all over the land. Yes, he will. We it's an ever you. Y'all ought to let the Lord help, 'cause I know, yes he will fix it for you, he will fix it for you. Dum, dum, dum. Let Jesus, y'all can get a little louder now, let him fix it for you. Oh Lord, because he knows what to do, church. Says what to do, yes he does. Whensoever y'all ought to let the Lord help, 'cause I know, yes, he will fix it for you, he will fix it for you.